Welcome to Steadfast Hope. We have a great devotions in store for you today. I'm joined by Kent Steinbeck. We're in Dallas, Texas. We're at Herb's House Coffee Shop. We love being here, Kent.
Did you know it's the center of the universe? We looked it up yesterday.
We did. It's the center of the evangelical
universe.
Everything is just flowing from here. This is the fountain.
Yeah.
And we are in Genesis 22, verses 6 through 8. And the title of this is God Will Provide. God Will Provide. So it's the context is God calling Abraham to offer his son, his only son, Isaac, on Mount Moriah and to offer him as a burnt offering. And so Abraham heads out and he comes to Mount Moriah. And we pick it up here in verse 6. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son, and he took it in his hand, the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. What a sight that must have been, Kent. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father."
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Here I am, my son." And he said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Verse 8, Abraham said, "God will provide. Jehovah Jireh, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." So the two of them walked on together. You talk about big time drama and big time faith required. And a big time call for commitment by God. But that's what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in verse 3, Kent, those three words, God will provide, is really the heart of the lesson for us.
Mm-hmm.
That when God calls us to step out by faith and to obey him and to move in a direction, and we don't know how this is going to work out, we just need to know if God is truly leading in this direction in accordance with his word, then God will provide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ken, I think about even my moving here to Dallas. I had no idea how really anything was going to work out. And lo and behold, here's Kent Steinbeck in Dallas, Texas. And here's Dyer Street, and here is a little men's Bible study with you leading about three or four men.
There's more than that, Steve.
Okay.
Anyway, sorry.
And then COVID hits.
Yeah.
And how in the world is this going to work out? And I just really believed that God had led me here and that I had taken the right steps of faith and had come. And certain other things, such as even support for the ministry, was just unraveling. And yet we proceeded forward by faith and trusted that when we came to certain points in God's will that God would provide at those points. And that's what's happened. And here we are. And we're doing Steadfast Hope. And we're doing the men's Bible study. And across the street is Trinity Bible Church. And there are ripple effects that are going out from here and other ministries that are spinning out of all that's taken place here and continues. And who knows what God has in store a year from now and 2 years from now. So those three words, God will provide, really just need to be almost like tattooed on our forehead and just a reminder that where God guides, God provides, and that God will provide for us what's necessary to carry out his will. So, Kent, I've talked long enough.
No, I was just sitting there thinking, Steve, when God provides, would you say it's usually not the way we would reason it would happen, or we would map it out, or we would pray for it to happen? Or is it a lot of times the way we see it happening?
No, so many times it's so unexpected. That's why, even for our ministries together, I mean, we don't have a 5-year plan or a 10-year plan, because there's no way I know the mind of God and can even begin to know what's right around the corner. Because what God has inevitably is so much better than what we would have even planned for. And I know that Proverbs commends the wisdom of making plans. I know that, and that we are to make wise plans. I don't want to diminish that. But in reality, Proverbs 16:1, man plans his ways, but God directs his steps. God's steps end up being directed in a different direction than what our plan was over here. And it was so much more strategic and far-reaching and better as God redirected our step. And it's just God's sovereignty over our lives.
And we never even, like, people always have the book, you know, take this book and follow it if you want to build a church or do this or do that. I mean, the way we got here is amazing.
We've almost broken every rule.
Makes no sense.
It makes no sense.
And I think about how this should encourage me when I look at the table God set for my life, and I'm like, well, how I don't understand how it's going to work. But I guess my question is, our fathers, both of our fathers, had great influence on us. How much influence do you think this had on Isaac, a young man?
Oh, wow.
What did that, when he watched this, and it's him watching his dad.
Wow.
What, I mean, the influence that someone walking by faith can have on someone else, even like our kids.
Wow. You know, Ken, it was a huge influence as Isaac saw God working in the life of his father and through the life of his father for great good and for great glory to God. That had to deepen the roots of Isaac's trust in the Lord, which would eventually bring forth great fruit in Isaac's life. And that is an interesting thought, Kent. The influence of our fathers in such a positive way, really an influence that's still in our lives today. And we can be certain that it was in Isaac's life for the rest of his life, as well as a godly mother like Sarah. And that's God's design, the way our lives are to be shaped by our godly parents who have gone before us and have left a legacy, really a down payment of a godly example and faith in our lives. So that's a great angle for us to think about this.
Yeah, I was just thinking later on in Isaac's life, I think he prays for like 20 years. His wife's barren. And you have to think that he's looking back on this saying, this doesn't make sense, but Dad
walked the walk
Dad,
on this.
And Dad trusted.
And that's how I got
and
here.
I've got to get, but 20 years or whatever, I think it was, that he prayed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I'm right on that.
Yeah. I don't have the exact.
Well, but anyway.
You've got the study Bible.
Got the study Bible. But anyway, I just think that not only does this increase our faith, but I think people observe us more than we realize.
Yeah.
And what, like, people watch you, how you live your life.
Well, that's
how
humbling.
You respond.
That's humbling.
Well, I mean, that's, you're in the spotlight, and I watch you, and I watch your faith, and you've been through tough, tough times, and it strengthens me. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah, God has used trials to get me to this point.
Yeah. And heavy trials.
Heavy trials. He really has. And I've told you before, I'm battle tested.
Yeah.
And there are, I'm sure, more trials.
Yeah. And I think people listening draw strength from you going through trials.
Well, I would want them to, and I draw strength from others that I know and others that I read about. That's why I read Christian biographies, and I read about men like William Tyndale and John Wycliffe. I was working on something for John Wycliffe this morning. And again, just reminded of how resolute his faith was. And that inspires me to trust God and to walk by faith. So, Kent, we've been blessed by having godly fathers, godly mothers, and we've been blessed by having real life examples in front of us. And we've been blessed by reading in Scripture the examples of faith with men like Abraham, Hebrews 11, by faith, Abraham, you know, may it be said of us by faith, and then put in our own name. Well, thank you for joining us for Steadfast Hope. I trust that faith is being developed in you and that you're growing in your faith. Be in the Word. Have the Word in you. Set your gaze upon God and upon Christ, and you will set down even deeper roots in Him. May the Lord bless you. Thank you for joining us for Steadfast Hope.